is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rallo's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rallo's West offers small and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rallo's West is open from 5 till 9 p.m. till 10 on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468. All right. We have a wonderful pre-recorded show here for you today. And as always, I will be here in the studio. So if there is something that you feel compelled to share with myself, as well as our listening audience while you're listening, please give us a call, 895-1114. And stay tuned. At the end of the episode, we will be talking with a woman who is traveling out to North Dakota to the Standing Rock and will be sharing goods that she collects with people who are out there protesting the DAPL pipeline that they are trying to put in and under the Mississippi River. So stay tuned for that and for a conversation about what is going on if you're unaware and how you can contribute. Thank you so much for listening to Love in the 21st Century. We enjoy sharing the love with you.
Between the members of the Chico Brain Injury Coalition and the graduate students at the Communication Sciences and Disorders program at Chico State. This year marks our second Radio Shorts program. Students and members worked to create a series of rich segments that we hope will entertain and educate. So sit back and listen with open hearts and open minds.
What is it you want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary. That's a quote from the classic film It's a Wonderful Life. My name's Tom, and I'm here with my friend Melissa.
And we're here to discuss the unique theater-going experiences in Chico.
Chico is a great town for movies. I have had a lifelong interest in film. People can relate to my interest in film, and that everyone has movies that mean a lot to them for all kinds of reasons. As a child, my neighborhood friends and I would watch films such as Jurassic Park and the Power Rangers and act out our favorite scenes.
What makes the theater experience unique?
Going to the theater is special because everything is amplified and presented on a larger scale. Movies have an immediacy in the theater that home viewing can't match.
What do you like most about going to the theater?
I like going to the theater because it's a little escape from reality and day-to-day life. I get to follow the careers of my favorite actors and directors, and it's a great way to relax, alone or with friends.
Do you have a favorite genre of film?
I love all genres equally, but it's hard to beat sci-fi or action on the big screen. I'm a lifelong night owl, so evenings are my favorite time to watch films.
Are there any theaters in Chico that you would recommend?
The Pageant, El Rey, and Tinseltown offer a wide array of films, like independent films, documentaries, action, and Hollywood blockbusters.
What have been your favorite movie theater experiences in Chico?
My favorite experience at the Pageant was watching It's a Wonderful Life with my friend Ross and our moms. My favorite experience at the El Rey was watching my favorite comedies, Clerks, The Big Lebowski, and Monty Python, Life of Brian. My favorite experience at Tinseltown was watching a revival of Pulp Fiction, starring my favorite actress, Uma Thurman.
Can you tell us a bit more about the Pageant?
The Pageant has been around for 70 years and has a very unique and intimate feel and location, not quite downtown. It reminds me of a blues club. It's very laid back. They have couches to sit on in the front row, an old school popcorn machine, and intermissions during which they switch the film reels. Ticket prices are $4 to $11.
Is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners?
In conclusion, I feel very fortunate to live in a city that offers such a great movie-going experience with such a wide array of films. So if you live in the North State area and are looking for a fun and unique movie-going experience, look no further than Chico.
And I have a brain injury, and I like art.
My name is Caitlin, and our first question for Feline today is, why do you paint?
It's something that I like to do on my own. I have trouble reading words. I'm relearning how to read at Peg Taylor. So my art comes naturally. I get lost in words. It keeps me from my stress. It's way better to control my fears. I like to draw. I don't like people to stress me, so I can do it on my own. Best of all, it keeps me busy.
Why do you paint?
I like to draw cartoons, animals, and flowers. It's fun to do after I get used to it.
When and where do you paint?
I started painting about 9 years ago. I start a program at Peg Taylor, then I take it home to work on more. It calms me down. I need a quiet place to work. Outside is okay.
Turned away from it all like a blind man. Sat on a fence, but it don't work. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slight and tall.
Well, I started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down as I crossed the hill. And the town lit up. The world got still. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. Well, the good old days may not return, and the rocks might melt, and the seed may burn. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. You down and break your heart, steal your crown. So I've started out for God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there. Around the clouds, but what goes up must come down.
That about 8 million companion animals enter shelters nationwide every year? Today our topic is love, and if you want lessons in unconditional love, don't look up to a role model. Simply look down. We're Chelsea and Sarah, and we're here today with our friend Josh, who is going to be speaking with us about how rescuing animals will not only change an animal's world, but how will it change yours as well.
Love and compassion come in many different forms. What is one thing you're compassionate about, Josh?
Rescuing animals, because we are all stuck on the same planet. We need to learn to coexist with all living things.
Who can rescue animals?
Anyone and everyone should rescue animals. It is the most rewarding experience. These animals will love and befriend you. Animal shelters and rescue groups are full with happy, healthy pets just waiting for someone to take them home.
What are some benefits of rescuing these animals?
Companionship. These animals become part of the family. They just want to be loved and cared for like anyone else. I currently have a cat that I rescued from the Humane Society. His name is Vito, and he's been my companion for several years now. He's a Siamese cat, and the only downside about him as a roommate is having to clean the litter box. All the dishes are always where I left them.
How many animals have you rescued?
Many. My family has rescued so many. When I was a kid, we would always find stray animals on the side of the road and take them home and find loving homes for them. I also have rescued many animals. One animal that I rescued was a dog, who I named Katie. She was my next-door neighbor's dog, and their son was trying to turn her into a fighting dog. So I went next door and told them I was moving in a week and I was taking the dog to save its life.
Why is rescuing animals so important to you?
Like I said earlier, we all share this planet. We need to learn to coexist with all living things. Rescuing animals allows love and compassion into your life. Animals are wonderful creatures.
How can other people rescue animals?
Well, most communities like Butte County have shelters where you can adopt an animal. We are lucky to have the Butte Humane Society here in town. It is a wonderful place that I've had the opportunity to volunteer at. Some animals are left on the side of the road, and some animals are in bad homes. All of these animals have the right to a good home, just like you and me.
A shelter pet is more than one in a million. It's one in 2.7 million. That's the number of adoptable dogs and cats who are still euthanized each year in the United States, simply because too many pets come into shelters and too few people adopt. So if you want to experience unconditional love like Josh and many others, remember, there's millions of animals out there waiting to be adopted into a loving home.
What are you here to share with us today?
First off, I would like to thank you for this opportunity. I would like to share the importance of knowing the symptoms of ovarian cancer and the importance of being your own advocate for screenings. It is important to know the risk factors and your symptoms. Ovarian cancer is not found during a routine annual checkup.
Do you have a personal connection to this topic?
Yes. My younger sister, Chrissy, recently died of ovarian cancer. That is why it is so personal for me. My sister experienced symptoms for over 10 years. She shared these symptoms with her family doctor and gynecologist, and they were dismissed as not important. I want to continue to educate people about how vital it is to know the risk factors and symptoms.
What are the risk factors and symptoms of ovarian cancer?
Women over 50 years of age and women with infertility issues are at a higher risk. The signs and symptoms include abdominal bloating and pain, unexplained weight gain or loss, unusual fatigue, painful intercourse, and unexplained gastrointestinal complaints.
What's your advice to the listeners?
All women need to be advocates for themselves. Everyone has a woman in their life that they love. Everyone should encourage and support the women in their lives to screen for ovarian cancer. An option for women is to obtain a baseline number through a blood test called CA125 to help identify the presence of ovarian cancer. I will continue to spread the word about the signs and symptoms of ovarian cancer.
Thank you, Barbara, for sharing this information. Do you have any concluding thoughts to share with your listeners?
Yes, I do. I cannot express enough to advocate for yourself and getting your CA125 baseline number. You will have a better chance of surviving ovarian cancer if they detect it early enough. When Chrissy was diagnosed with cancer, she stated that she wasn't the only one that got cancer, that her whole family also got cancer. Until my sister was diagnosed, I didn't realize how cancer can and does affect the whole family. Thank you again for allowing me to share my sister's story.
Without What does love mean to you? Well, let me tell you what it means to me. Love means displaying acts of kindness, treating others how you want to be treated, and doing well unto others, plus being assertive.
What would you like to share with the audience, Daniel?
On September 4th, 2003, I ended up in a vehicle car accident with a severe traumatic brain injury. I was on life support for 4 days. There was uncertainty within the family if I was going to live or not. What I'd like to share with the audience is difficult with personal growth and wanting to be independent, but you need to accept the fact that you need to open your mind to suggestions, increase in your growth, and put down your doubts of loving yourself, feeling that you need to succeed, not to ever give up.
What are some tips that the audience should consider when speaking with an individual with a traumatic brain injury?
Personal development is always constant. If you think that you are a master, there's always something new. To take brain injury as a survivor, you need to look at aspects of it's always learning. And you're going to end up compensating for abilities that you used to have. Go with the flow. Never argue with yourself. Negative self-talk is a bad thing to do. But also stop and think before talking is also a really important thing.
Is there anything else you would like to share with the audience?
One most important thing is to fight for a relationship. That means your mother, father, your son. Never give up. And also seek help when things seem at wit's end. Preventively, you need to seek help before that so you don't end up with the struggles. I want to put a shout out to the Brain Injury Coalition and the friends and family that are listening, and also the brainline.org, which has helped me greatly, as well as the VA in Martinez, California, Dr. Kicksmuller. He knows me like the back of his hand. And also, you want to learn about keeping yourself forward and staying positive.
Wow. Hi, my name is Brad.
And I'm Gina.
This segment is called Tough Love, and I want to share with you a few strategic gardening techniques that involve stressing your plants.
Why would you want to stress your plants?
Stress isn't all bad. In fact, when you stress your plants, they often produce more smells, colors, and have better growth hormones. Stressing plants is typically used to increase production of desirable flowers or produce.
What are some different ways you can stress a plant?
You can stress a plant by messing with their light cycles, watering, and pruning.
Tell us about stressing plants through their exposure to light.
You can disrupt the plant's growth if you expose it to light during the night. Light plays an important role in the plant's reproduction and life cycle. Plants develop sleep cycles just as we do, and they need time to recuperate during the night as well.
That's interesting. What about stressing plants by watering them differently?
To stress the plants with water, you want to let the plant dry out a little so their roots grow deep and stronger as they search to reach for water. If not done carefully, overwatering plants can cause the plant to become waterlogged, and that is too much stress.
Wow, so you can stress plants through light, water, and what was the third technique?
Selective pruning. To get a fruit tree to produce larger fruit, you would remove some of the immature fruit so the plant's resources aren't spread so thin. You can also cut plants back after they bloom so that next year they will be healthier and produce more flowers, like a haircut for the plants.
What types of plants can you stress?
You can do it with any kind of plant, really. Any plant within any environment. Large and small gardens, and indoor or outdoor plants.
What are the pros and cons to stressing your plants?
It's great because you help the plants flourish and produce more fruit and flowers. But if you stress the plants too much, you can kill them. You have to find the right balance for your plants and how often you subject them to stress and the extent to which they're stressed. Like with all living things, there needs to be a balance of love and stress for them to thrive. Sometimes you have to be hard on things you love to make them try harder and grow. Like they say, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger.
Thank you for listening. We hoped you enjoyed our segment.
Oh, many days I've longed for you, wanting you, hoping for the chance to get to know you. Longing for your kiss, for your kiss, touch, for to feel your essence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do. Felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Animals are known to increase health and decrease depression. What type of animal do you have?
I have a cat.
What is your cat's name?
His name is Simon.
And how old is he?
He is about a year and a half.
What color and breeding is your cat?
He is orange with white dots. He's an orange tabby.
Many cats are strictly indoor or outdoor cats. Some are both. What is Simon?
He used to always go outside, and then one day he brought in fleas. There were fleas everywhere. So now I got rid of the fleas, but now he's more indoor than before.
Awesome. How did you get Simon?
I got Simon one day. I was just sitting down watching TV and I heard a meow, meow outside my door, and I went out to check what's that, and it was a little tiny kitten. I didn't want to get rid of it because it was a kitten, so I just kept it. So I asked people, is this your cat? And they're like, no. So I just kept it, and it was only 3 months old.
Cats are known to have many different personalities. Some are loving and cuddly, and some are wild and crazy. What type of personality does your cat have?
My cat has both. In the morning, he's all lovey and cuddly and like, oh, meow. And then in the afternoon, he's all feisty, like, he wants to fight.
What is the funniest thing that your cat does?
The funniest thing, when I call it a night and I go into the covers, when I move my feet under the covers, he tries to bite my feet, thinking it's an animal trying to attack him or something.
Some say taking care of an animal is a full-time job. How has your cat added extra responsibility into your life?
I change his water, his litter, and his food, and he just makes me want to take care of him because I love him.
Research suggests people with animals create loving and positive relationships with them. How has your cat added love into your life?
He's added love into my life because he's helped me with my depression, my loneliness, and looking forward to coming home to see him, my little cat.
That's great. Stress is a consistent emotion in many people's life and can be harmful. Studies have shown animals can reduce stress. Do you think Simon helps regulate any of your stress?
Yes, he does. Before, I was stressed over everything, and now I see him, he helps me because he has a responsibility that I like, and changes water, his food, his litter, and he's like my little baby.
Started to let your hair go, spend big bucks to top your wardrobe. Yes, my name is Ron Moran.
Tell us a little about you, Ron.
Well, I am a 50-year-old man who lives here in Chico. When I was 21 years old, I made a mistake, and now I'm living with a brain injury.
So how has experiencing a brain injury affected you?
My brain injury has had a large impact on my life. There has been differences in my memory, coordination, and speech. Although there have been some difficulties, it has given me a new appreciation for many things I don't believe I would have had before.
So what are some of these things that you've come to appreciate more after your brain injury?
I have come to appreciate art, music, especially the harmonica, and poetry. I have also become more faithful.
So, why did you become interested in art and music?
I'm not a Picasso by any means. However, these things allow me to open up and express myself. In the past, I had a tough guy exterior. Art and music have allowed me to get in touch with my emotions, which have given me a sense of freedom. When I'm feeling down, I like to play the blues on my harmonica. Poetry and religion have also helped me connect more with my feelings.
When did you start playing the harmonica?
I started playing the harmonica 10 years ago, give or take a couple of years. I have developed a good sense of rhythm that I did not have before my injury. With this, I was able to teach myself how to play. Another reason I enjoy playing the harmonica is because it is very fluid, and my speech doesn't always come across that way.
So why don't you play us a little?
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. That was great. Is there anything else you feel you've come to appreciate more?
I have also enjoyed being able to show others that people with brain injuries are capable of many things, including bringing awareness to themselves.
Where have you been able to do this?
Last month, March, was Brain Injury Awareness Month. Over 300 people marched around the Capitol in Sacramento to raise awareness and to benefit the Brain Injury Association of California.
Why did you feel that it was important to be a part of that walk?
That walk was meaningful to me because I was able to show interest in a topic that affects many people's lives, including my own. I got to meet people who have gone through some of the same things that I have. It also helped raise money for the Brain Injury Association. Currently, they have raised almost $60,000 this year.
Wow. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today and opening up about some of the positive ways your life has changed since your brain injury.
Trailers for sale are rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys 8 to 12 4-bit room.
All right. right. We've been listening to some inspiring stories from the Brain Injury Coalition and their particular views on love. As we were talking about love stories here on Love in the 21st Century, what would your story be if someone asked you to tell a story about love? Who would be the star? Would it be about somebody? Would it be about yourself? Would it be about something that you're passionate about? That's the beauty about talking about love, is it's so vast and we feel so strongly for so many things. And so it's really such a privilege to get a peek into somebody's life when they share with you something that they love, and you never know what they're going to say. So thank you for listening. We do have a special guest here on the phone with us. Dee Dee, can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. So Dee Dee is passionate about the Standing Rock protest that's happening right now, and she is about to head out there. So do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, Dee Dee, and what you're about to embark upon?
Yes. So I'm 29 and I'm not working right now, and I think maybe because I haven't been so busy that my eyes have just really been open to what has been going on, and the more that I look into seeing really the injustice that's been going on, it's really disturbing to me, and I feel like I have this calling to go to Standing Rock and protest what's going on. I have my daughter who just turned 10 who is very excited to go as well. I want to bring supplies and be any assistance that they need there to stand with them.
Absolutely. And so there are, I believe, thousands of people there now in North Dakota that are protesting the pipeline, the oil pipeline that they're trying to put under the Mississippi River, correct?
Yes.
And do you know about how long people have been out there now? I know that it's been more than months.
I think that they started around April, and then more people have just been coming and coming. I think the last time I checked, which was last week, I think there was over 7,000 people out there.
7,000 people. And I mean, it's amazing that it's not making more national news, right? It seems like we would want people to be hearing about this, huge protest, probably one of the largest protests in its length going on right now, currently in the United States.
Yeah, well, there's such a media blackout. I think there's been a lot of live feeds that Facebook actually has been shutting down. They don't want people to be spreading the word. That's how I found out about it, was through Facebook. I have a friend who, she's Native, and she's just constantly posting about it. And I just started following it. I had no idea, because the news doesn't want you to know
right. All
the stuff that's going on. I mean, our rights are being violated. I saw another video where there was people out there recording things, and the police arrested them.
Right.
Arrested reporters just for, recording something. I mean, we have every right to be there and to protest, and I mean, they're just breaking the law, and I feel so strongly about just being there.
Right, absolutely. And so much a gift to our community that you're willing to go out there. I mean, there are, yes, real threats. I mean, there's definitely police officers and National Guard that are arresting people for their protesting right now. And can you talk a little bit about the land that they're actually on? Do you know anything about that?
The sacred land, or the
yes.
land that the pipeline is?
The sacred land.
The pipeline is going to go through a lot of that. It's going to go through the water. And if it busts, which usually the pipes do, I mean, it's not just going to be a problem for them who live out there. It's going to be a problem for everybody. I mean, anytime there's an oil spill, animals die, the earth, is poisoned, and it takes, so much effort and money to clean up stuff. I mean, some stuff can never be, you can't get that back. And so for them to just put this pipeline in there is ridiculous. And none of the money is not creating permanent jobs for, the people of the United States. I mean, all of it's going to be exported. It's just absolutely ridiculous to even, put it here. If they want to build it somewhere else, I mean, put it in their backyards, but they're not willing to do that. They don't mind who they trample on. I mean, as long as you have this money, you have this power over the land and what you know is to be right and to be wrong. And it's horrifying to live this way and know that anyone can do this at any time.
Absolutely. And the fact that they are violating treaties, that, you know, that these lands were protected lands and that people are being paid off so that they have permission to... permission by people who don't really have the authority to give them permission to put in this pipeline. And the reality is, like, as you mentioned, it's not about when or if this pipeline is going to bust. It's when it does, what it's going to do, because other pipelines have been put in that are similar, and the amount of damage that they do is astronomical. But we don't, it doesn't make national news. We don't want people to know, and we believe that, you know, there's a belief that it's not the people's right to know. So it's really a strong calling that you're having to go out there, and so you're planning to leave very soon, correctly?
Yes, we're actually going to leave Friday. Once my husband gets off work, I'm taking the first shift, and I'm gonna drive until I get tired and wake him up, and then he's gonna continue. Where it's about 24 to 26 hour drive straight there, but I know we'll be doing stopping along the way, but we are leaving this Friday.
Wow, amazing. And so you're driving out a truck, or, and you're bringing out supplies. Are there things that you're looking for?
What I've seen on their website is they're mainly looking for, you know, tents, sleeping bags, sweatshirts, or I'm sorry, jackets, wool stuff, but you know, below zero, they're preparing for the winter. It's not like California winters there. It's going to be really cold, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are staying there until this gets resolved, and I wish that I could do that as well, but I can't. And I know there's a lot of people who want to donate and who would like to be out there, but, you know, the situation is not right for everybody, but I think everybody, you know, can donate, and... you know, I'm taking any donations that I can, but it's mainly I'm looking for, you know, the cold, cold weather things. They're asking for Lowe's gift cards, not Home Depot, because there is no Home Depot next to where they are in Cannonball. And I know they have a lot of food and water, but, you know, just camp supplies and wood.
Is there a website that you could give that people could reference in order to maybe find out some ideas?
Yes, it's sacredstonecamp.org. And when you go on there, they do have a supply list, and they will update it. You know, I know that they've, when they get a flood of certain things and they try to take that off and say, okay, we need this, they do have an Amazon wish list, and I believe you can find it on that same website, and it will just tell you if there's certain things that you, you know, I know it's so last minute for anyone to donate, but, you know, you can get an Amazon gift card, gas cards. I know a lot of people who are there with trucks, you know, they're using them to go back and forth to get supplies and wood and all sorts of things like that. So all of that would be very useful.
So that's great. That's sacredstonecamp.org. And then you're planning to come into Chico and pick up some supplies before you leave Friday. So if people are listening and they're interested in knowing how to get those supplies to you, what would be the best way to get in contact with you?
Probably to call my cell phone. You know, I can go wherever to pick up anything. But my cell phone number is 530-321-4341. So I'm trying to come probably in the afternoon, but if there's people who need me to come in the morning, I mean, I'm just willing to do whatever I want to bring a whole truckload worth of supplies for, you know, these people who are in it for the long haul, and it's going to be cold.
Okay, great. So that was 321-4121?
No, 4341.
4341.
Yes.
Great. So that's a way to get a hold of you. Stay posted on the Facebook page. We're going to try to figure out a location to drop things off by Thursday. So stay tuned. And anybody that follows us on Facebook, you can find out for a particular location if you're not going to be home any day, anytime on Thursday, and you still want to be able to donate some goods. We're trying to coordinate with the Chico Peace and Justice Center as being a location for dropping off supplies for Dee Dee on her, in her efforts to carry the spirit of Northern California out to North Dakota. And this is really a gathering of the tribes. It's it's been reported in the sources that have reported that there have been tribes working together that have not worked together historically in the past to come together as a recognized effort to bring awareness to what is going on and to reach more people, because this is really about people standing up to stop this, because there's not been any large national news on this or people being able to affect politics in a way that's going to stop the pipeline at this point. So Dee Dee, thank you so much for your efforts, and we salute you and we support you, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday when you come to town.
Okay, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey guys, Will Durst here with a warning, because when the days to an election dwindle down to a precious few, something happens to candidates, especially when prospects for victory appear slimmer than an emaciated giraffe in a funhouse mirror. And we should prepare not just for October surprises, but October lightning bolts tossed by Odin himself, October 80 megaton hydrogen bombshells, and October exposés that will make your mouth hang open long enough to attract bottle flies. So here's a sample of what may come down in these final weeks of this, the most important election of your lifetime. Yes, again. October 2nd. Breitbart News discovers that when the first words of Hillary Clinton's deleted emails from 2009 are arranged chronologically, a love letter to Lucifer is revealed in which she calls him smoochy. October 10th. Photographs showing Donald Trump poking a group of special needs preschoolers with a stick are laughed off by the candidate as political correctness run amok. His poll numbers rise. October 14th. En route to a campaign stop in South Carolina, Hillary Clinton rushes into a burning building to rescue a litter of newborn kittens. Her poll numbers do not budge. October 22nd, Donald Trump explains that pushing an old lady in a wheelchair down a flight of stairs was a therapeutic attempt to jar loose her cramped muscles. His poll numbers rise. October 28th, murky footage from a surveillance camera showing Donald Trump shooting a stranger in the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York City racks up 3 million hits on YouTube in 4 hours. His poll numbers rise. November 1st. A report surfaces that Donald Trump has a calendar in which October has 32 days.